I think I told you guys that I'm married. My wife's name is Kristen. And we weren't always married. We didn't just kind of like drift into marriage. There came a point when I really wanted to marry her. I was kind of afraid of taking care of a wife and all that. But I decided I was going to ask her. So I actually saved a bunch of money up and chartered a helicopter, and we flew over to this island and took her on a tour of the island on a golf cart. And I jumped out of the golf cart with this beautiful view of Catalina Island, Avalon. And I got down on my knee and I asked her, "Kristen, I love you. Will you marry me?" And she said yes.
Very romantic.
But I say that because, my life's different. It's all different because of that day. But it started with, there's all the stuff surrounding it, people involved in me making the decision, people involved in her making the decision, doing things with her, but it kind of came down to a moment where I just asked the question. And she could have said, "Hey, let me pray about it." That would be cool. And I go, "Okay, I'll wait," She could have said no. She said yes. But I had to ask the question. So we've been talking about being followers of Jesus all weekend. And we talked about how Jesus hung out with the fishermen he was teaching for a whole day. So it took a whole day of people listening to Jesus before they made the decision they were going to follow him. And this weekend, we've been talking about following him. And today I asked, if some of you came up here knowing for sure that you're already following Jesus, you're already sure of you're going to go to heaven when you die, you already know what the cross, I asked that question. Quite a few of you raised your hand. Actually quite a bit of you guys did, so that's awesome. Praise God. I know there's some really on fire followers of Jesus in the room. That's really awesome. But I know that not everyone did. And I wasn't looking. I don't know who didn't, and I'm not going to embarrass anyone who did or didn't. But because of that, I want to, in the place of Christ, as a representative of Jesus, I want to ask the question. Okay? Jesus said in Matthew 28, this is our verse today, it says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Those are the words of Jesus, the creator of the whole world himself, those words. So, as his representative, I want to ask you if you would like to become a follower, if you'd like to become a disciple. You've kind of been thinking about it, you've kind of been hearing about it, and it's kind of, you feel a little tug in your heart. Yeah, I kind of want to do it, but you got doubts. But don't worry, these disciples have a little bit of doubts. You don't know exactly what's ahead. That's okay, because a lot of people don't know what's ahead. I don't know what's ahead in my life. I'm going to still follow Jesus, but I don't know what's going to happen. You're not totally sure, but God, Jesus is kind of telling you, you're kind of in this moment. My wife said when I asked her to marry me, that her life flashed before her eyes. So maybe as I ask you, will you come and follow Jesus with us? Will you be a disciple? Will you come along this path that your life right now is flashing before your eyes? You're like, I'd like to say yes, but, it's scary. Like, you're like scared right now. Like, maybe you're just nervous. I don't know, for some reason, I feel nervous asking you. Just because I know it's a big, big question. But I need to ask the question. You don't have to say yes right now, but I want to say, do you want to follow Jesus? Do you want to be his disciple? Do you want to get baptized by him soon in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? And do you want to start a life of observing everything he's commanded? That's my question. And if you would, I'd just like you to stand up where you are. See, I haven't said yes to that question before, but I want to say yes to it right now. I want to say yes. Anybody want to say yes?
Yeah.
Talk to one of the counselors back there, near Mrs. Dixon, or one of the, there's a couple of counselors back there. Just let me make sure we get, oh, there's Ben. I was going to send you to Ben, but I let back to you in there. So go, come back and talk to Ben. Ben will come over and
he said, hi. Sure.
So tell us your name real quick. We're going to pray for you.
Please do.
I meant a Ben joke.
Please
sorry.
Do.
What's your name?
Dylan.
And next to you?
Devin.
Devin. And? Tell everyone your name.
Jasper.
Say it again.
Jasper. Okay, no, Ozzy.
Let's pray for them. Lord, thank you for these four followers of you. Lord, what an awesome decision they just made. A lifetime of discovering what it means. And I just really admire their courage. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fill them with faith and courage as they walk forward. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Give them a hand.
Awesome.
So if you're thinking of saying yes, but you were just a little too afraid now, just the offer's still out there. So talk to your counselor or somebody you know who wants you to follow Jesus back at home or whatever, and are we good to go? Okay, we're good to go. Okay. I like telling a story about getting married. I don't usually tell that story, but I want to tell you another story. Do you have like stories?
Yeah.
So I was invited to a missionary. So invitations. Remember at the beginning I talked about my friend who threw the rock? You ever remember his name?
Dave,
he invited me to go surfing. Well, there's this one time a missionary from Indonesia came to my church and our church, and he said to us, "Send us a team to Indonesia." He invited us to go to Indonesia, and afterwards, after the church service, I was like, "Yeah, I want to go." And afterwards, this lady came up and she's a really nice lady, and she said, and she had a lot of money, and she said, "Hey, if you get a team together to go to Indonesia, I'll support you. Big bucks." She said, "I'll give you big bucks." And I'm like, "I like that. That's really cool." And she did give us big bucks. She actually paid. I don't know if you've ever been on a mission trip that was completely free to the other side of the world, but it was because she gave us that money, big bucks. It was really cool. So we went to Indonesia, and and that missionary who invited us there had a strategy. I told you a little bit about it earlier today, a strategy of reaching the lost. And so I want to tell you about his strategy, a little bit of what happened on my short trip there, and then we're going to move into Jesus' strategy for reaching the lost. So this is a picture of us in Indonesia, and we took, the 2 years I went there, we went to four unreached villages of unreached people. That means a whole ethnicity, a whole race of people that have less than 1% that know or follow Jesus.
That's what an unreached people group is. And many of these are unreached, unengaged peoples, which means there's no one even dedicating themselves yet to working with them, except for my friend and his people there in Indonesia. So there was this village that was out on an island right here called Tasipi. Can you guys say that? Tasipi. Now, I should have brought two pictures, but this is a picture of the island at low tide. Notice how there's dirt all around here, and this is all water. And at high tide, the water comes up underneath the houses. So when you go by the island, all you see is houses on top of the water. It's really cool. So to go there's no roads. You got to take one of these boats. And so the strategy was get into the boats. We don't really know anybody over there, but let's put all our stuff in there, enough to stay a couple days, and let's go to the village and see if they'll let us stay with them. On the way over there, the water splashed in the boat, man. We're getting all soaked, and our stuff's getting wet, and I'm just thinking, what if they don't want us to come on the island? Like, that's going to be crazy, because it's a long journey. This is us getting in this boat, and it was very tippy-turvy, and anyways, long story short is we land on this boat, on this island, and they told us we are the first white people that had ever been on that island. In fact, the only white people they'd ever seen was people on TV, because even though they hadn't had white people at their island, they've had TV on their island, and there's white people on TV, so they thought we were the people from the TV. And they're like, hey, we saw you on TV. And I'm like, well, those are different white people. That's not us. So we spent this weekend there, and it was just amazing. I got to stay in this guy Omar's house with his wife, and we're underneath his house. So the houses are on these stilts so that if it's really high tide, the water won't, you know, drown them out. And they eat, hang out down here, and then you live up there. And so it was just an amazing weekend. We got to stay there. They gave us the grand tour. We went fishing. We caught fish. And just like in the Bible, they cooked the fish right on the shore. It was really cool.
Oh, wow.
And this guy, Omar, at the last day, he wanted to run for mayor or like ruler of that island, which is elected. It's not like, you know. And so he wanted us to pray for him. He was an open person. He seemed open and welcoming to us. So we told him some stories about David, and we prayed for him. And it was just such an awesome privilege to be on this island. No white people have ever been to. No gospel had ever been there. And to be able to share the story of Jesus there with them. And we actually, at night, after we had a big feast, everyone got out their guitars and we sang some worship songs right there on this island. Never been there before. It was such an amazing experience. So yes, question?
Did they speak English?
No. They spoke, it's called, what do they call it? It's Bahasa. Bahasa Indonesia. Very good. Yeah, Bahasa Indonesia. And they also have their own like local language as well. But that's kind of the language of all Indonesia. So it was an amazing trip. And so the strategy of my missionary friend who came all the way to Oregon to invite us to Indonesia, to then get on a boat, to then go to an island, and then get it all worked. Pretty awesome. I think that Jesus is pretty cool. Don't you? Yeah, and he's pretty wise, and he's pretty smart. And so he has a strategy for us to reach the lost. And I think there's a lot of time that I've known this was in the Bible, but I never used it as my own personal strategy of how to go to the lost. Isn't that interesting? Wouldn't it be interesting that you have like the most wisest, smartest, messianic person there is, the Messiah. He sends you a strategy for how to reach people and how to spread the kingdom, but you just kind of tuck it away in your back pocket and never pull it out and use it. Well, we're going to pull it out and we're going to study it so that we start to use it. Before we do, we are going to take a quick commercial break. Actually, no, we're not. We're going to just, you guys know the seven sales. We'll review them tomorrow. Okay, review them in your cabin before we go to bed. We're going to review the seven sales. You know them really well. We're going to review this, but maybe we'll do that somewhere else. We're going to look at Luke 10. verse 1 through 16. And I warned your cabin leaders that we're going to break up again into groups. And just discovery, the discovery way. We want to always discover God's word and follow what he says. In your groups, the instructions are up here, the instructions. You're going to read Luke 10, 1 through 16. You're going to make a list of who the disciples are supposed to look for. Actually, it wasn't the 12 disciples. It was the 70, which is kind of cool because you know how many people are at camp? How many people?
73.
A group like this, Jesus gave the strategy to, and then he sent them out. So who were these 70 supposed to look for? What type of a person would Jesus say to look for? And then make another list of what to do and not to do as you go out among the lost. So have one of the people in your group read it out loud. The rest of you listen. And then one person write down what the group heard as answers to those two questions. Who to look for, what to do. You guys get that? Okay, I'll leave the instructions up there. You can get in your groups and go for it. I'll give you like 10 minutes. Thank you.